And come with me in your mind's eye to visit this, our friend, the psalmist. Over the last couple of weeks, we have been reading through Psalm 119. And I don't know what your impression has been of this psalmist. He certainly had a few things happen to him, hasn't he? And this week, we're going to find the psalmist intently praying. Just imagine, will you? He's probably kneeling down, his arms clasped, his eyes squeezed shut as he's preaching, as he's praying these words. And I want us to feel the intensity of what he's praying. And so to highlight that, to highlight what he's saying, I'm going to use a couple of different words so that you get an idea of just how intensely he was praying this prayer. Because this prayer has a lot to tell us. So come with me and let us listen to this prayer. Pretend that you are a fly on the wall, as it were, and the psalmist is praying this. And in verse 33, he's saying this. Oh Lord, Lord, please, can you remember when I was a little child and I was playing at the seaside? I used to love those days, and I used to get a stick and I would put my stick in the sand and I would snake out a nice trail. And as I went, I would make sure the trail got deeper and deeper and deeper. And then I'd get a bucket and I'd fill it up with seawater and I'd go back to the beginning of the trail and I'd pour it out. And I would watch as the water snaked through the trail that I had made. I was literally teaching the water which way to go. And that's what I want you to do for me. I want you to let me be the water and your word to so direct me that I will crash up against your word and know that I'm going in the right direction. That's what he means when he says, teach me. He says, Lord, let me be that water that's directed in the right path so that I will get there in the end. Lord, please constrict me. Please direct me. Lord, shove me in the right direction so that I learn to keep your words, O God, so that I guard my life, so that I keep your words and obey them. And that's not all. Lord, please, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom and understanding and discernment. I long to have the nous, O Lord, just the common sense that says, actually, the very best thing for me to do is to follow your words, your instructions. In fact, I want to understand that the very best thing, the right thing for me to do, is to follow your instructions with all of my heart. Please, please will you keep me in your ways. Please, Lord, will you make me be like a piece of chewing gum that's stuck to the sole of your shoe, and will you tread me in your commands, in the pathways of your commands? Because there I find delight. Do you get that intensity? It's quite strong. And I hope by now the one thing that you'll be clear, pardon my dramatics if you like, but the one thing that would be clear is that he's asking God for help. He's absolutely desperate that God would help him to keep, or better yet, a better word, is to faithfully obey God's words. And you might, he's saying, teach me, constrict me, shove me, give me wisdom, tread me in the paths of your commands, so that I keep your commands, your instructions, O Lord. I need your help to keep your commands, he's saying. He's literally saying, Lord, I want you to shepherd me. I want you to shepherd me in your words. And you know what a shepherd does, don't you? Well, at least a shepherd in the days of the psalmist. He would have been a bloke, wouldn't he, with a crook. And he would have stood on the plains where there were where his sheep were, and he would have watched over them during the day, and at night time he would have said, come on, let's go back. And some of the sheep would have followed, and some of them would have not. And he would have had to have gone round and he would have tapped them with his stick and said, come on, you two, come on, we're going home. And he would have taken them into the sheep pen, wouldn't he? And there would always be one that would think, oh no, I'm not going in there right now. And he would literally get his shepherd's crook and he would hook him by the neck and pull him and say, no, this way. Come on, get into the sheep pen. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Lord, will you make me, will you be like that with me this way so that I keep your words? That's what he's asking for. And if you ask the question, well, why is he praying that? Why is the psalmist praying this? Well, he would have said, because I haven't kept God's word faithfully. I haven't guarded my life so that my life keeps God's words. Isn't that true of you and me? But in fact, there's a horrible truth that the psalmist is only too aware of. And we'll see that in this next part of the psalm. So we're going to look at verse 36 and verse 37. And I'm going to go back into my theatrics, so that you get an idea of what he says in verse 36 and verse 37. So he says, Lord, turn my heart, turn the inner man, the real me, towards your words. Turn me towards your faithfulness, towards your almighty nature. Turn the inner man to your commandments. Turn me, turn the seeking of my heart, what really drives me, towards you. Because left to myself, I will only chase after things for myself. Left to myself, I will chase after money and after wealth and after success. I need your help, Lord. I need you to teach me, to shove me in your right ways, to give me wisdom, to tread me on your commands, so that I keep your commands, because my natural inclination is to turn to myself. And I'll turn to worthless things and I'll make them my idols. I'll spend my time and my energy on trying to become wealthy, or trying to become successful, or trying to be self-important, or trying to become popular, or trying to become powerful. And I'll do all these things, and I'll spend all my time, because that's where my heart will be. Do you feel it? Do you feel what he's saying? See, here's a man who really knows himself. See, though he was transformed, last week we read this psalm. And last week, remember, we saw he was absolutely transformed. He was a man, back in verse 25, where he was laid low in the dust. And the dirt clung to him, and the only thing he could do was cling on to the word of God. And by the end of it, he was transformed. And he was running in God's commands, wasn't he? Because God has set his heart free. And I don't know about you, but when Spencer preached that, I was going, yes! You were excited, weren't you? Because here was a man who was just transformed. But yet this week, this man is only too aware that when things are going well, it's only too easy for his heart to be deceived, and for him to turn to selfish gain. Here's a man who knows. Who knows that the heart of the issue is the issue of his heart. And there's a huge contrast. Can you see it? There's a huge contrast. Oh, sorry, I'm going backwards. There's a huge contrast between in these two verses, in 36 and 37. He says, turn me, O God, to your word. Turn me to things that tell me about you, or my heart will be to selfish gain. Says, turn me from running after worthless things, from running after idols of wealth and success and popularity, because those things won't give me life. And that's what I need. Life. The second half of verse 37 says, preserve my life. But we need to understand exactly what that means. He's not saying, please keep me alive, or please, O Lord, give me a long life. That word, preserve my life, that verb, it's the same word that God gave to Noah and said, Noah, I want you to take two of every animal and put them into the ark to preserve their lives. It's the same word that God said to Ezekiel when he gave him a vision, and Ezekiel was in the valley of the dry bones. And he says, speak to these dry bones. And the dry bones speak, he speaks to them and they start to have flesh on top of their dry bones. And then he says, speak to the wind to give them life. And he speaks to the wind and these dry bones and these dead bodies come alive. This word that he uses to say, preserve my life, it means literally keep me alive, O Lord. Revive me, resuscitate me, give me life. And so this psalmist is there saying, Lord, I need you to give me life. And only God can give us life, real life. Not just eternal life, but real life now. See, real life is about our relation with God. It's not just about our physical life. And that's why God says in Deuteronomy 8, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's why Jesus gave that exact reply to the devil in the wilderness when the devil wanted him to take a shortcut through God's way for his life. Go on, the devil said. Go on, aren't you the Son of God? Make these stones turn to bread and feed yourself, because you're hungry, aren't you? If you're the Son of God. But God had called Jesus into the desert. And Jesus said, no. Actually, life is about doing exactly what comes out of the word, out of the mouth of God. I have to do this. This is how I have to do. Because in this I have life. He trusts God and he humbles himself and he knows that God, that in God's word there is life. And there's this implicit connection between God's commands and life. And the psalmist knows it. Turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, it's on page 132. And it says this, here's Moses talking to the Israelites just before they enter into the promised land. And he says, be careful, verse 1, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, the commands that God had given him, so that you may live. and increase, and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers, so that you may live. See, the psalmist knows it. He knows there's this connection between obeying God's commands and having life. And he knows that his heart is so easily going to be led away from doing God's commands. So he's begging God to keep him from turning to worthless idols, to worthless things, because he wants real life. Life that only comes from God. So see how he pleads for it. See how he pleads for life in verses 38 to 40. He literally is saying this, Lord, I am your servant. Please fulfill your promise to me. Your promise of blessing to keep to those who keep your commands. Establish me in your promise, because I fear you. Lord, I stand in your courtroom and I plead that you turn the reproach away from me that I deserve. You offered me life and I chose selfish gain. But you are a merciful and covenantal judge, and your rulings are good. Lord, I stand here before your judgment seat, and I have longed for your words of authority, he says. I'm guilty of longing for your words of authority. That's what precepts means. Please, please give me life. Because you always do right. You are righteous. The psalmist was pleading for life. And that's got to be our prayer too. And the fantastic privilege that we have standing this side of the cross is that when we plead for life, Jesus says to us, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. See, Jesus is the answer to our prayers when we ask for real life, because he is God's bread of life. So we are to sing this prayer with the psalmist. That's exactly what he wants us to do. He wants us to make this prayer our prayer. He wants us to seek the life that God gives us through his Son. And for Christians, it means that we have to incline our hearts. We have to turn our hearts, our inner man, as it were, to Jesus. We know him as Savior. But we have to trust him as Lord. We have to trust his words and do them. We have to live for him. The inner person of us has to live for him. I keep using this word inner man because it was striking to me. But let me try and explain it. I want you to think for a minute over this last week on all the actions that you've done. And then ask yourself, what was the real motivation for me doing what I did? Whatever it was. And as you start to play out these actions in your mind, perhaps you will think, wait a minute, when I said that thing to that person, when I made fun of that person, why did I do that? What was really going on in my inner man, in my heart? When I did what I did on that occasion, why did I really do it? And as you start to think that through, you get an inclination of where your heart is. And the point about this psalm is that if you want real life, real life now means that we have to turn our hearts from the worthless things of pursuing idols, whatever they are, whether it's success or money or even looking good. We have to turn our hearts from those things to pleasing Jesus. That the inside person says, actually, I want to serve you. I want to please you, Jesus. You see, the King of the whole universe already loves us. And that's enough. Let that be enough for us. Let's seek Him, to seek His smiling face. And as you start to do that, God, Jesus promises you that you will have life in all its fullness. Life now, here, today, because you are actually doing His will. And life later, eternally, when He comes back and says to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. And as you pray this prayer regularly, which is what the psalmist wants us to do, you will find that you start rejecting wrong things in favor of what's in God's word. You say, no, I just don't want to do that. You'll find yourself asking, I'm in the situation, and you'll find yourself asking, now what actually would please God? What actually would please God in this situation? You'll find that you start to change because God's Spirit that is in within inside you will take God's word and will change you. And you will display more and more of the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. You'll have more love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and self-control. You will change to become more and more like Jesus. And that is our prayer, isn't it? That's what we prayed even earlier tonight. And I know that that is the prayer that lots and lots of us pray all the time. And the psalmist says, turn your heart to Jesus, your inner man, and you will have life. We are to recognize that we need God. We need God to faithfully keep His word. We need God to turn us from sin. And we need God to give us life. And that's to be our prayer.